Morning. Today's daf in Bamentzia is Nun Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Sechanish Masliba Gavrila Bashmuel. We're on Nindal Amaral for towards the bottom of the Amud Amar Rami Bar Chama. Our topic of discussion past couple of days has been Chomesh. It's a funny discussion to have in the middle of Bamentzia, specifically the fourth parak, which is talking about the Yisra Ona, meaning we're normally talking about financial law. And specifically in the fourth parak, we've been discussing now for a good part of a week, more than a week, discussions revolving around charging, overcharging, undercharging, fraud. But nevertheless, Chomesh becomes a discussion because the basic connection, to oversimplify the last couple of days, is that Maaser Sheni requires deconsecration on a coin. Well, you don't have to. You can bring the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. But Maaser Sheni most typically is going to be deconsecrated on a coin. And we've quoted extensively from the Mishnayos and Maaser Sheni. And we know the halach is that when you're quoted Maaser Sheni, when you redeem Maaser Sheni, so you have to add on a Chomesh. And so as long as we discussed Maaser Sheni, as long as we discuss Chomesh, so now the Gemara is getting involved in the discussion regarding Chomesh. There are a number of areas in Halacha where the Chomesh payment is required, as we discussed yesterday and concluded yesterday, although it's a debate, but the Gemara's conclusion was, is that Chomesh is Melavar, not Melagav, which means that when you're paying Chomesh, you're doing so as a fifth of the result, not a fifth of the original. So that means really, as I explained yesterday, that really means it's a fourth. If, let's say, the Maaser Sheni is valued at 100, so you have to redeem it for 125. A number of other issues that revolved around Chomesh. The Gemara now takes us through more discussions regarding Chomesh. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, and we pick it up right where we left off. They said that they over here is a reference to the Tanaim. This is a Mishnah. Hekdesh, Einam Eschal Al Karka. We know that when it comes to Hekdesh, you consecrate something, and now you want to be Mechalal it, you want to deconsecrate it, so you cannot do so on property. In other words, you must have some sort of movable item in order to transfer the Kedusha. The Torah says that you have to give money or money equivalency, but it has to be something which is movable. Can't be karka. Chomsha mahu, she's chal al karka. How about the chomesh? Meaning that when I redeem hekdesh, when I redeem my own hekdesh, so I have to add a fifth. That's another area in halacha where there's a requirement of adding a chomesh. So do we say that this requirement of kesef is only specific to the karen, is only specific to the principal, but maybe not to the chomesh? Maybe chomesh is considered something that is exterior, external. Really, I'll tell you the truth, meaning all these gemaras that we did yesterday, today, all really revolve around one central issue, and that is, how much is chomesh part of the original, or how much is it considered a surcharge and a separate line item? That's really, so many of these questions revolve around that fundamental question of whether chomesh is part and parcel, or it's a separate item that you have to pay. So that's question number one. When I'm redeeming the chomesh, can I do so on property? Question number two. Ainam shalem esel. I'm sorry. Truma, missed an important word. Truma ainam shalem esel min achulin. When a person has to reimburse truma, why would he do that? Because a person ate truma by accident. A non kohen ate truma by accident. Achila b'shogeg. So the Torah says that when a person eats truma b'shogeg, so you have to make full restitution to the kohen. And you also have to add in a chomesh as well. Now, full restitution to the kohen means that you have to give the kohen produce which can then become truma. So when I reimburse the kohen for the truma that I ate b'shogeg, I have to do so giving him food. However, I'm sorry, derachman amar v'nasan l'kohen es hakodesh. The Torah says that I have to give the kohen the kodesh. Davar ha'ralios kodesh, something which is subject to becoming truma. It has to be food. However, chumsha mahu shi'ishtalim shalom menachulin. But again, another example, another area in the Torah where there's a requirement to pay chomesh. So this chomesh payment that I make to the kohen now, does it have to come in the form of food? Or can it just simply be 25% of that which I consumed that can come to him in any value as long as it arrives at 25%? That's question number two. Meiser ein mitchala ala simon, as we've discussed already a number of times. Meiser sheni cannot be redeemed on a non-minted coin. It has to be something that has a form on it, meaning it has to be a minted coin. So again, I know that when I redeem my Meiser Sheni, so it has to be on a coin. How about the extra 25%? Does that have to be on a coin? Or could that be on an asimon, even on a non-minted coin? And again, the common denominator of all three of these questions is, like I said just a moment ago, do we look at Chomesh as the principle, just an addition to the principle, but it really has the same characteristic as the principle, or is the Chomesh a separate line item? So, is Galgamosav Umata Lekame de Rava Amalahu Amakra Allah. So, Rava says that if you look at the Psukim, where it describes all these Chomshin, so you're going to see the word Allah written by them. I have the Gemara over here with the Psukim on the side. So imgal yigal as I said, hamak yishasov yasav chamishis kesef erkecha alav. Okay, so that's one. Another one. Ve'ishki yochal kodesh bishkagav. That was regarding hekdesh. Another pasuk. Ishki yochal kodesh bishkagav yasav chamishiso alav v'nasan lakohen sakodesh. So there we have the word alav again. So so a number of times where. Where the Torah describes Alav, Larabbas Chumash Kamoso. And the drasha is that the Alav is telling us that the Chumash is on top of the Keren, which basically means it has the same characteristic as the Keren. So whatever's true regarding the principle is going to be true regarding the Chumash as well. I'm Ravina Fanamitanina, and Ravina says, and I'll tell you what, I'll show you a Mishnah that makes this point also just as well. Hagonav Chumah Velo Achla. Let's say I go over to a Kohen, or the Chumah doesn't have to be by a Kohen, but whatever. Let's say I steal Chumah, but I didn't need it. And I'm caught with the Chumah that I'm stolen. So in other words, we know the halacha is, 7th parak of Baba Kama, we did this already in the daf not that long ago, the halacha is that if you're a ganav and you were caught, so you have to pay principal and you have to pay it again. What we would call kefal. So here now we're talking about how to pay kefal on the truma that which you stole. So if the truma is still intact, so as far as the first principle is concerned, that's easy. Just hand back the truma that you stole. But now you have to pay kefal. So here it's an interesting discussion. It's not much of a discussion. The Gemara is going to say it very succinctly. But here now, kefal is, obviously I don't have to reproduce another truma. I have to pay its value a second time. What is the value of truma? So the Gemara just simply says succinctly, Misham Tishlam Kefal, Deme Truma. So when you're paying that second value, so you're going to be paying it at the value of Truma. What does that mean? Rashi explains over here, it means like this. And we said this already a number of times. When you're talking about the evaluation, the appraisal of Truma, it's going to sell for very cheap. It has to. First of all, there's not a large demand for it. It only can be eaten by Kohanim. And parenthetically, Rashi doesn't make this point, but Rashi says this elsewhere, parenthetically, and the Kohen can get it free. So how much can you sell something if the Kohen can get it elsewhere free? On top of that, Kohen can only eat it while he's in a state of Tahara. Kohen can't eat it in a state of Tumah. So there are many times in the life of a Kohen where the Kohen just simply can't eat it. And Rashi points out, and if the Kohen becomes, if the Kohen becomes Tameh, or if the Truma becomes Tameh, then it becomes inedible. So you're talking about something that really is, it really does not have a strong demand. Since it doesn't have a strong demand, so therefore its price is going to be very low. This is a break for the Ganav. Okay, I mean, in other words, it's just the reality of the economics. The Ganav now, who has to pay kefal on the Truma, only needs to pay kefal on what he can fetch on the market, which isn't going to be a lot of money. Achla. Now, what if the Ganav not only stole the Truma, but ate it? Now, when I say he ate it, he didn't know it was Truma, he ate it b'shoged. So now, he stole and he ate it, and he was caught. So, obviously not with the goods, but he was caught. So now, he has to pay Karen Chomesh. Right? Follow. He has to pay the first Karen because he stole. He has to pay the second Karen because of the halach of kefal. He has to pay a chomesh because he ate truma b'shogeg. And so now it's just a question of how do you pay? So, achla mishlam shnei karnayim v'chomesh. So you pay principal twice and you pay chomesh. Karen v'chomesh min chulin. Now as far as how to break that down, Karen and chomesh is going to be coming from chulin. Right. Because the first principle is the truma that you actually ate. And we know that you have to make full restitution. Full restitution means that you're going to have to actually get fruit, right, produce, that can become truma. You're going to give that to the Kohen as reimbursement for the truma that you ate. plus the chomesh. The chomesh is also going to have to be fruit. Now, over here, this is it. Meaning, this is the money line. This is what we wanted to see, because this is a clear indication that chomesh cannot be any value substitute. Chomesh has to also be fruit eligible to become truma. This was a question which the Gemara entertained, but no longer entertaining. Meaning, well, the Gemara already resolved the issue, but this Mishnah also is a clear illustration that chomesh of truma that was eaten b'shogeg also has to be food. Vakaren, just give me 1 second. Vakaren demei truma. And as far as the second principle is concerned, well, that's the kefil payment. And for the kefil payment, you only have to pay the value, and again, valued at the low price that truma normally fetches. Yes.
So the
second kefil could be paid money. Not only paid money, but for what truma is valued on the open market, which is not a lot. We turn to the top of Nundal Amid Beis. So the Gemara says it's now a very clear conclusion that when we talk about chomesh, chomesh has the same property as the principal, and this Mishnah was a very clear illustration of that case. Amarava. So when we talk about gzela, now here, to be specific, we're not talking about just general gzela. We're talking about gzela in the form of, I have somebody's property, he comes over and asks me for it, and the Torah gives a number of examples of how I have that. It could be a pikadon, it could be wages, it could be a loan, right? We just went over this. It's the end of Parshas Vayikra. And what do? I deny. Sorry, I don't have it. I don't know what you're talking about. And then he demands for me, and I say, look, I swear I don't have it, and I make a shvuah. I make a formal shvuah. So under those circumstances, now if I come clean and admit that, yes, I owe you, yes, I swore falsely, and I want to make amends, so the Torah says that he has to pay principal plus chomesh, and he also has to give a karban hashem as well. All this is found in the end of Parshas Vayikra. We also know that in such a scenario, it could be that the chomesh that you're required to pay, you're going to end up paying chomesh on it again. Let's do this quickly. Utsanan. Nasan lo se karen minish balo lo chomesh arezim osif chomesh al chomesh. Ashi ismayit akaren pachos mishvei pruta. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches us the following. Let's say a person makes a demand of me that I owe him $100. I say, no, I don't, and I swear I don't. And then I make an admission, yes, I did, and I swore falsely. Okay, I'm really sorry. Okay, so how much owe you? $125. Good. So that's 125. And then what do? Is I give him the 100, and then he comes to me and he demands the 25 from me, and I say, you know what? I don't owe you 25. Okay. Now, obviously, he's incorrigible. This person didn't learn his lesson. But okay, I know we can make fun of him. But in other areas in life, we are similar. Okay, so in other words, so he goes back to his old habits of, or what 25 are you talking about? Now, mind you, that 25 was chomesh, and he's making a denial on the chomesh, and then he swears falsely that he doesn't owe it, and then he actually admits that he does owe it. Yes, I'm sorry, I do owe it. So now he's going to have to pay 25, and now another 25% of the 25. Okay, I didn't choose good numbers. So, but okay, anyway, okay, so, but he's got to pay now another 25% of the 25. And this cycle, if it were to continue, will continue if he keeps denying the chomesh. Now, obviously, each chomesh is going to be obviously a significant reduction, as it only is going to be 25% of the previous chomesh. So it's going to be a serious reduction. And the Mishnah says, and you can keep falling into the cycle until eventually it becomes less than a shava pruta. Once it becomes less than a shava pruta, monetarily it's insignificant, as we're going to be discussing later today, which we already knew, but we have the Mishnah coming up later today. So the Gemara says, so the point is that there could be multiple chomesh on kofir bipikado. The Gemara says, gabi truma ksiv, and we also know the same thing is true regarding truma. Ish ki yochal kodesh bishkagav yosef chamishiso alav. So we have the pasuk in the Torah describing where, in the event that I eat truma b'shogeg, I have to make restitution and I have to add a chomesh. Utanan ochel truma b'shogeg mishalem keren v'chomesh. Echad ha'ochel ve'echad ha'shosev ve'echad ha'sach. Now here, to be subject to the penalty of principal plus 25%, you have to consume the truma. You cannot destroy the truma. Rashi takes us through the psukim. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but Rashi takes us, not through the psukim. Rashi goes through the limudim in terms of how we know that eating, of course, is consumption. Drinking, of course, is consumption. Anointing is also considered consumption as well. Rashi goes through that, but for our purposes right now, these are all forms of consumption. Echa truma tar v'echa truma tameya. And for the penalty of keren chomish by truma, doesn't matter if the truma was tar, it doesn't matter if it was tameh, mishalim chomsha. You pay chomish on the truma that you ate, v'chumsha d'chumsha. And on the chomish that you then set aside for the kohen, which then becomes truma, you decide, you know what? I'm going to eat it, having forgotten that it became truma. You're going to be paying chomish on that as well. So once again, it's the same idea by truma, that there could be a chomish on the chomish, multiple chumshin. The ilu gabi meister lo mechtav tziv. So here's what we know: as far as kofar bibikadon, multiple chomish. As far as achil of truma b'shogeg, multiple chomish. Here the Gemara says, but this is where we're going to draw a line. Meister sheni and its redemption, there's not multiple chomish. And the Gemara is, and the Gemara makes a very interesting declaration. So gabi meister lo mechtav tziv, there's no pasuk indicating. V'lo misnatana, there's no mishnah indicating so. V'lo ibai ibayilan. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you the truth, we don't even need to ask it as a question. Meaning we kind of know, or we do know. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Gabe hekdesh ksiv. Now, what are the clues regarding the other halachas that we know there are multiple chumshin? So by hekdesh, the Torah says, v'ima makdesh yigalos beisov yosef chamishis kesef erkecha utanan. And by hekdesh, we have a mishnah. Hapodas hekdesh, hekdesho. If you try to redeem your own hekdesh, which you're entitled to do, mosif chumish. So, I'm sorry, most of chumash, you had a chumash. Chumash tanan, chumash de chumash lo tanan. So, when it comes to the Mishnah regarding Hekdesh and my redemption of Hekdesh, we know, the Mishnah says very clearly that you only do chumash once, and they're not multiple chumshin. My gabich, velo tanan, my gabich chuma. So the Gemara says now, so that's the Mishnah regarding Hekdesh. Now we go backwards and we go back all the way to Truma. So when it comes to Truma, Gabi Truma Ksiv, Vayasef, Vayasef. So it says Vayasef. And the word Vayasef, as Rashi over here indicates, means that you're going to keep adding. Meaning that in the event that you ate a Kohen's Truma by accident, and you're now making restitution together with Chomish, Vayasef comes to teach me that in the event that I ate the Chomish, I got to keep adding another Chomish. Gabi Kodesh Nami Haksi Vayasef. And by Kodesh as well, it says Vayasef. So the Gemara says, so there is a clue that by Truma, I'm going to be adding multiple Chomshin. You know, we do have the same exact word by Hekdesh as well. So even though the Mishnah seems to indicate that by Hekdesh and the redemption of Hekdesh, it's only one chumash, multiple chumshin. However, if I look in the Torah, the clue that by Truma tells us that there are multiple chumshin, maybe it would be true by Hekdesh as well. Odilma gabi Truma ksiv vayasef, isha kitil levavdi vayasef, ishadit alei al chamishisov, havalei chamishisov. But the Gemara says, by Truma, the clue works like this. The Torah says vayasef. What you could do is you could take the vav and you can cut it out of the word vayasef and you can add it to the word chamishisav. This is a concept which we've seen already a number of times throughout Shas. It comes up a number of times, and that is gorin umosifin vidorshin. Okay, in our modern thinking, it's cut and paste, meaning that you can. I'm sorry. It's cut and paste. It's not copy and paste, it's cut and paste. So you could take the vav from Vayasef and you could add to the Chamishisav. Now Rashi admits, when you take the vav and you add it to the end of Chamishisav, Chamishisav, so that ends the word in a double vav, not in the yud vav. Okay. And that double vav, Rashi was a grammar expert, to say the least, I'm not. But somehow the double vav at the end of the word makes it chamishisav, yud vav. Okay, again, the grammarians will understand this much better than I do. By the way, parenthetically, Rashi points out, as a general rule about cut and paste, meaning if you are using this kind of method of drush, you can only take letters from the beginning of the word or from the end of the word to attach it to either the beginning or the end of the other word. You can't splice. You can't take a word and insert letter into the middle of the word. Okay, and Rashi uses that to answer a question that he asks. Okay, again, I don't want to get too involved. The point the Gemara is making is that by Truma, there are multiple chomishes, Because you have this clue, you have this hint of Vayasav Chamishiso, and again, using this method of cutting and pasting, the Vav can go to the end of Chamishisav, which means multiple Chumshin. Gabi Hektish, Ksi Vayasav Chamishis. Now, by Hektish, it doesn't say Chamishisav with a Vav at the end, it says Chamishis. So adding, taking the Vav from Vayasav and adding it to the end of Chamishiso is not going to get us to that plural that was the telltale sign that we had regarding Chuma. So Gemara spells out exactly this point. So what is the... So here's what we know and here's what we're unclear about. By Chuma, by... Kofar Bibikadon, so there are multiple chumshin. By Meister Sheni, it's one chumash and that's it. The only thing the Gemara is entertaining as a question is Truma. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, why would it even be a question? Don't we assume that chumash is Hekte Sheni? Okay. Hekte Sheni, first time today we're seeing this term. We're going to see it a couple of times over the course of today. Hekte Sheni just simply means secondary Hektesh, derivative Hektesh. Okay, Temura is a perfect illustration of Hekte Sheni. I have something that's Kadosh. I transfer the Kedusha to the second animal. Now, it happens to be by Temura. I didn't give you the best example because by Temura, the original animal remains Kadosh. So the example I gave is not the best example, but just the idea of taking Kedusha and transferring it from one item to another. That second item is called Hektesheni. We are going to establish in just a moment, the Gemara didn't even reveal this information yet, but we're going to establish in just a moment that Chomish is not on Hektesheni, Chomish is only on Hektesh Rishon. So the Gemara says, so how can you have a Chomish on Hektesheni? That is in of itself a built-in irony. Isn't the Chomish in of itself considered Hektesheni? It's a derivative Hektesh. We're going to change that thought process in just a second, but I'm just explaining the question. So if Chomish is Hektesheni, so of course there's not going to be a Chomish on the Chomish of Hektesh, because as a rule, you don't have Chomish on Hektesheni. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara quotes the same to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which we're going to come back to in just a moment. Hektesh Risha, Mosif Chomish, Hektesheni, and Mosif Chomish. The halacha of Chomish by redeeming Hektesh is only for the primary Hektesh, not for a secondary Hektesh. So Amalei Rav Papa, Ravina, Hachi Amarava, Chomish Kitchilas Hektesh Damei. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to need a correction in thought so that we understand. When we describe Chomish, Chomish is not a secondary Hektesh. Chomish is considered primary Hektesh, like we described in the beginning of this morning. The way we view Chomish is that it's not a second line item. It is actually a function of the first Kedusha. It's just that when you redeem it, in other words, right, five is a new four in terms of redemption. But really, the fifth that you added is considered part and parcel of the original. So the Gemara says, so the point of Chomish being Hektesheni is just simply not correct. It's not the correct way to understand or view Chomish. My Havi Allah. So the Gemara says, okay, is there multiple chumshin when it comes to truma? I'm Rav Tavim, Mishmei Dabai, I'm Akrav, Yosef Chamishis, Kesef Erkecha, Mekish Chumshu, Lekesef Erko. Ma Kesef Erko, Mosif Chumsh, Av Kesef Chumsho, Nami Mosif Chumsh. So the Gemara learns it out through what seems to be either a Hekish or a Gzeir Shava, however you want to describe it. But the Gemara says, yes, there's going to be multiple chumsh. Okay, Gufa. And the Gemara now returns to the statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Alektesh Rishon, Mosif Chomish, Alektesh Sheni, Ein Mosif Chomish. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, as a rule, that when you are redeeming not primary Kodesh but secondary Kodesh, so you will not be adding a Chomish. I'm Rav my time to Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So Rav gives us a drasha to explain how we derive this Amakra. Im Hamaktish Yigal Es Beiso. So Hamaktish Vel Hamatvis. So the Torah says that when the one who consecrates comes to redeem his house, and Hamaktish means primary, meaning only the primary Hektesh. If let's say that Kedusha was transferred to another item, now by animals we have the Temur issue. So I told you Temur is not the best example. Let's not use Temur as an example right now, although that we're going to come back to that in just a little bit later. But just a simple case where I have one item that I consecrated, I have the ability to take that item, transfer the Kedusha to another item. Has to be of equal value, which we're going to clarify that point later on. But once I do that, now that second item is hekdesh sheni. It's a derivative, and therefore, when I redeem that second item, I do not need to add a chumash. Parenthetically, I know I shouldn't think in these terms, but if, let's say, you have an item that you want to redeem and you don't want to pay chumash, so now, I mean, it's a simple strategy, right? So now all you do is just simply transfer it to a second item, and then you redeem it, and then you won't have to add the chumash. I don't know if that's subterfuge, I don't know if that's endorsed, the Gemara doesn't discuss it. I'm just thinking, like the Gemara mind has trained me to do so. Just as a curiosity. Anyway, Tanit Tanakama de Rabbi Elazar. Okay. The following brisa was taught in front of Rabbi Elazar, and the brisa goes like this. V'im be'behema tamea upada erkecha. So, if you consecrate a non-kosher animal, so you can redeem it. So, ma behema tamea miyuchedesh etchilas ha'hekdesh, v'kula l'shamayim, u'mo'alem ba. So, this now becomes a binyanav. This will set the precedent of. Now, by the way, parenthetically, the pasuk goes on to say, and the Gemara didn't quote it, but it's a critical point that we're focusing on, is that when I redeem my animal that I was makdish, now remember, it's a non-kosher animal, so when I redeem the animal that I was makdish, so I have to add on a fifth. Okay, I mean, that's what we're focusing on right now. So, I'm going to start that again. Now, what is specific about a behema tamea? Meaning, we're looking to establish now precedent of what will be redeemed, and I have to add a fifth. So the Gemara says, number one, tchilaso hekdesh. It is primary hekdesh. Two, kula l'shamayim. It is all going to shamayim. We'll clarify that point in just a second. Umo'alen ba, subject to me'ila. Afkol. So now that means now that we have established the criteria of what, when redeemed, I'm going to have to add a chodesh. Kosher tchilaso hekdesh, something which is primary hekdesh. Kula l'shamayim, mo'alen ba. So as long as it meets the three criteria, so when I redeem it, I'm going to have to add on chumash when I redeem it. So Amalei Rav Elazar L'tana. So it, whenever the Gemara presents this way, it always is going to end, awkwardly, but in other words, it's always going to end with a question. Meaning the Braisa was presented in front of Rav Elazar, it's for Rav Elazar to analyze the Braisa and critique the Braisa. So, Amalei Rav Elazar L'tana Bishlam, Kula L'shamayim, L'mat Dekashim Kalim. So the Gemara says, look, kula shamayim, I totally understand that. That means then it's coming to exclude something like kashim kalam, shlamim. Right? By shlamim, we know the halacha is not all of it goes to shamayim, some of it goes on the mizbech, some of it is consumed by the owner. A lot of it's consumed by the owner. Some of it's given to the kohanim. And we also know that the parts that do not go on the mizbech are not subject to me'ila. So, and on a different occasion, I'll explain that better. But in other words, I understand that. Ela tchilas hekdesh l'mutimai. So the Gemara says, now when we say tchilas hekdesh, what is that exclusionary to? So tchilas hekdesh udias be me'ila, sof hekdesh leis be me'ila. So the Gemara says, now, are you trying to suggest that something with primary kedusha is subject to me'ila? Something that's secondary kedusha is not subject to me'ila? That's patently not true. Meaning, when you're mo'al behekdesh, when you misappropriate hekdesh, so that would be true whether it's primary or secondary kedusha. It doesn't make a difference. Both are owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and so of course there's going to be me'ila by both. So how can you make the suggestion that if something is primary kedusha, it's subject to me'ila with the indication of secondary is not subject to me'ila? That's simply not true. Dilma le'inyan chomesh kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, the word me'ila over here is code. It doesn't mean me'ila. Me'ila over here means chomesh. How do we make that leap? Look at the last Rashi on the Amud. Hach me'ila lav me'ila mamish kamar. Me'ila over here doesn't really mean me'ila. V'lo b'nenem in a hektish. We're not talking about misappropriating from hektish. Ela b'chomesh kamar. Uv'valif does hektish kamar. So v'ahare l'chomesh, me'ila mishum de me'ila na mishayich chomesh. So the Gemara says, the reason why we got the code, meaning whoever authored the Braisa, whoever put together this Braisa, used Me'ila, because we know that in Me'ila, when you're Mol Behektesh, there's a Chomesh surcharge. So he was just using Me'ila as a case study, but really the truth of the matter is he was talking about Chomesh. Okay, and with all this now we understand. When it's primary kodesh, subject to chomesh. When it's secondary kodesh, not subject to chomesh. So the Gemara points out, once we're saying this pshat in the Braisa, now we have an excellent support for Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So, Dilmalein chomesh kamar ucher Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Amar lei, in. So he said, that's exactly what was meant. So, hachi kamina, that's exactly what I meant. Amar lei, Rav Ashalor Ravina behema tamei betchilas hektesh isa. So, beemtza hektesh leisa. Now the Gemara says, when we say behema tamei becomes kadosh, we're saying it can only become primary hektesh. It can only become primary hektesh. That's not totally true. Meaning, it could be the middleman of hektesh. Remember, by hektesh, I can just simply transfer from one item to another. So the truth of the matter is that when I have behemoth tamei, non-kosher animal, it has a value, right? You can't eat it, but that's not the point here. It has a value, so I can take an item that has kedusha, transfer it to the behemoth tamei, and then take that kedusha and transfer it to something else. So truth be told, is that it can be the middleman. We're describing it only as primary. That's inaccurate. It could be primary, it could also be not the final kedusha, but it could be emtsa. It could be a middleman. So the Gemara says b'emtsa hektesh leisa. So amalei lefish ena b'sof hektesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. It could be in the center, but it can't be the end. Meaning that unlike a behemah tahora, where behemah tahora that becomes final kedusha. Final kedusha, of course, because when I have a kosher animal being subject to kosher, meaning an animal eligible for the mizbeach. So when that becomes kodesh, that's the end of the road. At that point in time, it now goes on the mizbeach. So behemah tamea, it's in of itself, is not going to go on the mizbeach, obviously. It will then just simply be a conduit where then the kedusha will go to something else. So the Gemara says, "Amar lei lefish ena b'sof hektesh." That's the only point we're making, is that by behemah tamea, it can be primary. It can be in the center, it can be at the end. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Achami Difti, L'Ravina Bamsa Hektesh Mia Isa, V'lo Sivna Michamesh. So the Gemara says, but do you hear that though? It can't be self. So maybe it should be more connected to primary, and just like by primary we add Chamesh, maybe the middleman of Kedusha of Hektesh should also add Chamesh. So Amalei Harei Kesov Hektesh. So the Gemara says, no. The Bryce's point was very clear and very specific. Only the primary hektesh, the one that you initially consecrated as hektesh, that when redeemed requires a chomesh surcharge, nothing after that. Once it's transferred to something else, even if that is not the sof, even if that's the middle, it still does not require the surcharge. So the Gemara now debates this point a little bit. So the Gemara says, velosif nami chamash amalei harei kesof hektesh. Ma sof hektesh ena mosif chamash, afem sa hektesh ena mosif chamash. So amalei rev zucha breda rav mari la ravina, my chazis medimadamas le sof hektesh, nidmele tchilas hektesh. The Gemara says, I don't love that comparison. Meaning, it's not compelling. You could say that the middle is more connected to the the middle is more connected to the end, but the middle could also be connected to the beginning as well. Meaning, you're in the middle. So really, you can follow. You can be pushed to either side. So amalei misabel sof hektesh avalei ledmuya shekei nidfas minidfas. Gemara says, yeah, but I'll compare it to sof because look, how did it obtain its kedusha? By being transferred from something else. Sof also obtained its kedusha by being transferred from something else. Adarabba, l'tchilas hektesh avalei ledmuya shekei davashei shacharav kedusha midavashei shacharav kedusha. So the Gemara says, again, if that's the argument, it's not a compelling argument. In other words, I can compare it to primary because by primary I know something comes after that. In the middle, something comes after that. So the Gemara says the arguments by themselves are not compelling. So the Gemara says, fine. So let's leave the world of arguments and let's just go to drasha. Kedamei Rava ha'ola ola rishona hachanami ha'tameya tamei rishona. We know when the Torah describes it, tamishel shachar, so the Torah describes it as ha'ola. Ha'ola means the first karban. We know the halacha is that in the Beis HaMikdash, no karban can be brought on the Mizbeach before the tamishel shachar. Why? Torah says ha'ola, describing that as the first. Here, in describing ha'tameya, the Torah uses the same hay to tell us that it is the first and only the first that's subject to the surcharge of chomesh. Any transfer after that is not subject to the surcharge. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and this Brisa will be a resounding agreement to Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Parizu tachas parishal hekdesh. If I transfer the Kedusha from one cow to another, meaning the first cow has Kedusha, and I transfer it to another. Now here, red flag should be going up. What does it look like we're describing right now? This looks like we're describing Temura. And over here, I'm going to pretend right now that we don't know about Temura. So we'll just talk about a simple transfer. In a moment, we'll come around to the idea that this should be Temura. Okay. I'll come back to it. So Parzu Tachas Parshal Hekdesh. So I'm making a simple transfer. The cow has Kedusha. I'm transferring the Kedusha to another cow. Talazu Tachas Talshal Hekdesh. I have a talus, and I transfer the and I was makdishin, and I transfer it to another talus. Hekdesho padui, so the transfer works. V'yad hekdesh al yona, but remember, based on mikdash, which has the upper hand. Okay, and we say this time and again in this context. What that means is as follows: look, you transferred one animal kedusha from one animal to another animal, or one talus to another. Let's do talus; it's easier. So. Fair or not fair? Well, depends. Meaning, how much was the first talus worth? How much was the second talus worth? If the second talus is greater in value, great. That's a windfall for the Beis HaMikdash. All that goes to the Beis HaMikdash. But let's go the other direction. Let's say the first talus was worth $20, second talus was only worth $10. So you can't do that. Meaning, you just shortchanged the Beis HaMikdash. So what you have to do is that you have to pay the difference to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Braisa means when it says Yad Hekdesh Al Yona. Parazeh b'chamesh shalayim tachas. Sorry, let me do that better. Parazeh b'chamesh shalayim tachas parishal hekdesh. Talazeh b'chamesh shalayim tachas talishal hekdesh. Hekdesh upadu al hekdesh risha mosif chamesh. Al hekdesh sheni mosif chamesh. And this is a part of the Braisa that we wanted to hear in this discussion of the Gemara, that on the first. On the primary hektish, when I'm redeeming it, I have to add a surcharge of chomesh. On the secondary, I don't have to add a surcharge of chomesh. Okay, period. That's what Rav Yeshua ben Levi has been teaching us. The Braisa is supportive of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, let me just quickly interject over here with Tosfos. Tosfos asked what is really an obvious question. The first case in the Braisa was, parizu tachas parshal hektish. I'm trying to transfer the Kedusha from one cow to another cow. Okay, that's Temura. That's a pasuk in the Torah, in the end of Sefer Vayikra. The Torah says it's a masechta dedicated to this topic. Hu usmura so yekodesh, that it and its transferred animal are both going to have kedusha. So what is going on over here? V'im tomer, Tosfos writes, it is the third Tosfos down on the Amud. V'im tomer v'aksivaya hu usmura so yekodesh. It's such a simple question. Like it's rather remarkable that the Gemara didn't ask this question. It's chumash. It should be the first thing coming to your mind. So the Gemara says, so what you could argue is, again, you have to give an answer. So one answer you can give is that we're talking about kachet bedek abayis, meaning that when the animal was consecrated, it was consecrated not towards the mizbech, it's consecrated towards temple upkeep. Now, you shouldn't do that. Right, the Tosfos here quotes the Gemara in Temura. You should not do that. If you have an animal that's a non-blemished animal and you're makdish it, you should be makdish it towards the higher kedusha, which of course is a mizbeach, not for temple upkeep. But even though you should not do that, it's effective. It works. And you know it's in the beginning of Temura. I'm not showing off Bekias right now. It's a popular sugya. The first sugya in Temura talks about when violating the Torah is, even though you violate the Torah, is your action still going to be effective? Masha asu asui. So the Gemara over there has a couple of dapim discussing that issue, and this, of course, being an excellent example of you shouldn't have been makdish your para for bedek abayis, but if you do so, it works. The Hadaminan Hasim Kolarol Gabizbech and Yosim de Mizbech Lolam Hainu Dikishapodin or so Mokhnol so Sarcheolos. Okay, and another issue which talks about how. Okay, I'll leave that alone for now. In Amim Ariafil Bekashim Mizbech Gon Shikada Mum Lehektish Deino Osa Tamura. Or another answer says Tosfos is that It had a blemish prior. Since it had a blemish prior, so therefore it's not eligible for the Mizbeach, and that's why even at its origination, it was Makdash Lebedek Abayis. And that's why when you are transferring, it becomes a full transfer, and the original animal does not remain Kaddish. Okay. Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and a broader discussion. Starting with Ona'ah, but then moving to other issues as well. Ha'ona'ah arba'ah kesef. So in terms of Ona'ah, how much do you have to overcharge or undercharge in order to violate the issur in the Torah of Ona'ah and hit the point of Ona'ah? So it is four kesef. Now this terminology is the same terminology that we used earlier in the parak, and that means a six. Okay. So meaning four per sella, which from a ratio standpoint is 1/6. Good. That's what we saw earlier. The Mishnah is not teaching us anything new right now. This is a stepping stone to the next point. Okay, on Moda B'Miksas, when the Torah imposes a shvua upon a person who makes a partial admission, the original claim has to be minimum 2 kesef, and the admission has to be a minimum of a pruta. Okay, this is based on psukim. okay, the chamesh prutos hein. In halacha, pruta comes up 5 different areas. Now, the list over here does not seem to be an exhaustive list. And it obviously prompts a lot of discussion. Why is the Mishnah over here only focusing on these particular 5 items when there are other areas in halacha where the pruta becomes significant? It's its own separate discussion. Let's learn the Mishnah. Chamesh prutos hein. Ha'odah shava pruta. So one is the admission that we just talked about. In other words, to be chayav in the shvua, amod b'miksas, so your admission has to be at least a pruta. 2. Ha'isha miskadesh b'shava pruta. When you mekadesh a woman, you pay something of the value of minimum of a pruta. First Mishnah in Kedushin. 3. Hanana b'shava pruta min ha'ekdesh ma'al. If you misappropriate, it has to be a minimum value of 1 pruta's worth of hektesh that you misappropriated in order to be chayiv in mi'ilah. 4. Hamotzi shava pruta chayiv lahachris. If you find something valued at a shava pruta, so now you have the responsibility to announce that you found it and involve yourself in the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. And finally, 5. Hagozos chaver shava pruta v'nishmalo yolichenu acharav afilu lemadai. You steal something from your friend worth a shava pruta, and you made a shvua that you did not owe it. So now, not only do you have to return the item, but all expenses, all travel expenses that are incurred upon you, and you have now the responsibility, the obligation to return it wherever it may be, however that may cost you, as long as the stolen item is valued at minimum of Shava Pruta. Okay. Gemara starts off the discussion. Tanina Chadazim Na'ona Abra Kesef. Me Esrim V'Arba'a Kesef L'Sela Shesus L'Mekach. So the Gemara asks the simple question, what's the Mishnah doing teaching us the first point of Ona being a 6? We established that at not the beginning of the parak, but much earlier on in the parak. So the Gemara says, "Atan shtei kesef v'odah shava pruta itzrich lei." So the Gemara says, "Well, like I said in the Mishnah, but I knew the Gemara coming up, so I had good information." So the Gemara says it's a stepping stone to the next part of the Mishnah, which is that by moda b'miksas, the claim has to be shtei kesef, and the admission has to be minimum of shava pruta. Hanami tanina shvuos adayanim atan shtei kesef v'odah shava pruta. So the Gemara says, but that's also a Mishnah. So granted, it's a Mishnah, another Masechta, but so what? It's a Mishnah. So that also is superfluous here in the fourth paragraph of Metzia. Seifa itzrich lei diktani chamesh pruta sein. The Gemara says that's your second stepping stone. So in other words, the Mishnah is basically using ona'ah and moda b'miksas to get to the topic of pruta and give us the 5 categories where pruta becomes significant. Chamesh pruta sein v'chula v'lisei nami ha'ona'ah pruta. Gemara asks such a wonderful question. And like I said back in the Mishnah, there are many areas in halacha where pruta becomes significant, and the Mishnah's list is not exhaustive. But one of the conspicuous absences in the Mishnah is ona'ah. Meaning, isn't there going to be an isser of ona'ah only when it is a pruta? So why didn't the Mishnah, it's such a fabulous question, why didn't the Mishnah include as one of the things that a pruta is significant for, ona'ah, especially when you consider we're in the perek in Shas dealing with the isser of ona'ah? Okay. straight. Amar Rav Kahana Zos Amarese Enona Laprutos. So the Gemara gives a fascinating answer. The Gemara says there's no ona when it comes to prutos. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Enona Laprutos, Bepachos Meisr Shuhu Matbea Shel Kesef. So Rashi just simply says that any time that you're dealing with coins that are non-silver coins, meaning the pruta is a copper coin, so basically at that point in time, the overcharging and the undercharging is nominal. Nominal to the point where it's excusable. It's, you know, if you can imagine, like, you know, it's like paying with pennies. Like, we're using, I don't want to call it insignificant money, it's not insignificant. But because it's not, it doesn't have a certain status, it doesn't have a certain chashivas, so basically, if there's any kind of overpaying or underpaying, it's automatically waived. Levi Amar Yeshana Laprutos, now Levi fundamentally disagrees. He says, no, I don't care what coin you're using. If you're overcharging or undercharging by six, it's subject to ona. V'chein tani Levi Malasitza, chamesh prutos ein. And in fact, Levi felt so strongly that about his disagreement, that he had a brisa that also had five prutos, but his list was different. And his list went, chamish prutos ein, ha'ona pruta, va'uda pruta, v'kidushi isha pruta, v'gezel bepruta, yeshivas ha'dayanem bepruta. Two notable differences from our Mishnah. Now, obviously, we're making a list of five, so he's taking out two and replacing it with another two. One, ona'a. Ona'a is in his list of five, which now, in this brisa, is a clear demonstration that even when you're paying with pruta, subject to the rules and regulations of ona'a. And also, yeshiva sadayanim. A court is only going to hear a case if the case is over at least a pruta. Now, in other words, there will be small claims court, but there is a threshold. They have to be fighting over a pruta. If you're fighting over less than a sheva pruta, Basin doesn't even entertain. V'tani didam ma'itam loktani shivas adayanim. So the Gemara says, okay, now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to compare lists. How come our Mishnah doesn't have the two of that was taught in the Brisa of Levi? So as far as yeshivas adayanim is concerned, tani legezel. So then, sorry, loktani shivas adayanim, tani legezel. Umilo tani gezel, v'tani aveda. So the Gemara says, now our Mishnah has gezel. Now gezel, most of the time is going to include a dayan, a court. So the Gemara says, "V'ktani aveda, hanechitz rechle." Gezel goes a mechaver shaver pruta v'nishbalo yolchen acharav ve'afilu lamadai. So the Gemara says, now as far as gzela is concerned, look, there is a specific halacha by gzela, and that is the travel expenses that are incurred in the event that you stole and you falsely swore that you don't know. Under those circumstances, a special halacha of yolchen afilu lamadai. You got to pay the expenses. That's a specific halacha, and that's why our Mishnah included gzela. Aveda amotzi aveda shavu pruta chayv la'achris va'afagav dezal. In other words, and as far as finding a lost item, if it's just worth a pruta, is it really worth my time to have to announce and make a declaration? And that's the point that the Mishnah wanted to make. Yes, it's really worth your time, meaning the Torah commands you to make the hachraza once the item is at least a pruta's worth. V'levi my time alo tani aveda repruta. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Levi's concerned, he, in other words, in his list, so he had ona and he had yeshiva sadayanim, and he didn't have aveda. Why not? So tani le gezel. So the Gemara says, it's gezel. Umilo k'tani gezel v'k'tani yeshiva sadayanim. Yeshiva sadayanim it's rechle. Now, from Levi's perspective, the court is a necessary chiddush. Lafuki midrav kitina damar of kitina based in his kakana fula pachos mishave pruta. So, because there is an opinion out there that says that basin will convene even if it's less than a pruta. So Levi felt the necessity and the importance of adding yeshiva sadayanim because he knew this ran contrary to some other opinions. Levi my tamal oktani hektesh bechulin. Sorry, lo ketani hektesh. Now, according to Levi, how come he didn't list hektesh? So the Gemara says, b'chulin kamari, b'kashon lo kamari. Yeah, because the lists are thematic. The list was only dealing with non-hektesh items. So that's why it didn't make list. And basically what you see now is, like I said in the beginning, this list of five is obviously not an exhaustive list, and so therefore what you have to find is some sort of thematic link that puts all five of them together. So the Gemara says that's why in Levi's Brisa, he just simply thematically hektesh didn't belong. Elatani didan de kamari bekashim nisni maiser bepruta. So the Gemara says, okay, obviously our Mishnah, which included Hekdesh, felt that thematically Hekdesh did belong. Once Hekdesh belongs, so why not include Meiser as well? So the Gemara says, and we just learned a couple days ago, that by Meiser Sheni, if you have Meiser Sheni less than a Pruta, you cannot redeem it. It's unredeemable. Command Amar Ein Becham Shel Pruta. So the Gemara says, the author of the the author of our Mishnah that doesn't include Meiser Sheni subscribes to the opinion that if the Chumash does not have a Pruta, so then you don't redeem it. But in other words, okay, fine. Let's leave it at that. V'lisni Chumash Meiser Bepruta Bekarnak. I'm sorry, Chumash Meiser Bepruta. So the Gemara says, well, why not then focus on the fact that if the Chumash is subject to a Pruta, so then it's redeemable. So the Gemara says, Bekarnak Kamari Bechumash Kamari. Again, thematically, our Mishnah is only dealing with principle, not with surcharges, not with Chumash. So even though, yes, you're right, the threshold for Meiser Sheni is that the Chumash has to be a Pruta, you're right. But our Mishnah thematically is only talking about Keren, not about Chumash. So basically, what the Gemara is doing is finding the theme that links the five of our Mishnah, the five of our Braisa, Gufa. Amar Rav Ketina, based in Iskakana, Philopachos, Mishave Pruta, Mesev Rava. The Gemara challenges based on the following. Vesasher Chatam in a Kodesh Yishalem, Lerabos, top of Nun Heyamad Beis, Pachos Mishve Pruta. It comes to include even if the case is less than a pruta. Okay. Less than a pruta. So, lehishavon, lekodesh, lekodesh in, aval lehejo lo. So the Gemara says, so, as far as making restitution, that's correct. But in terms of Kodesh, it's not coming to include Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Eliyin ma'achid ma'amar of Kitina im husku beizdin l'shave pruta gomer na'filo pachas m'shave pruta. So the Gemara says that a statement made by Rav Ketina is that if Beis Din has a case where it started at a Shava Pruta, they're going to finish the case even if the case ended up being less than a Shava Pruta. The obvious question. How can a case start off with the dispute riding over a Pruta and then somehow, by the end of the case, it ended up with less than a Shava Pruta? Rashi, Afila B'Pachos, Rashi writes, "Im chazar hasheni v'tava pachos mishav pruta kodem she'amdu beizden misham nizkakin lo." Rashi creates a really interesting scenario, very difficult to understand. They go to court. There was a claim, and the claim was you owe me, and the claim was over a pruta. As they are now sitting in court, now he would like to resubmit his claim, meaning I was wrong. My claim wasn't really over a pruta, but it was over something of under a pruta. So essentially, what Rashi is saying is, under those circumstances, according to Rav Ketina, the case will still be tried. As long as it started with a Shava Pruta, so then, even though the claim was resubmitted, so it will conclude. It's difficult to understand because, quite frankly, if the claim is resubmitted, it's really a new court case. It's not, meaning it's not a continuation of the previous case. So it does make the Gemara a little bit difficult to understand, but that's how Rashi explains it. So the Gemara says, "Afila pachas mishav pruta tchilas adin bein a pruta." Gemara din lo bein a pruta. The Gemara says exactly, meaning according to Rav Ketina, as long as it started at a shav pruta, even if it concluded with less than a shav pruta, so that would hit the threshold of you've hit the threshold and you can continue having the case. Okay, let's quickly wrap it up. I spent a good part of our day talking about Chumash, more about the topic of Chumash. The basic rule that the Gemara spent a lot of time on at the end of yesterday's daf and the beginning of today's daf is multiple Chumshin and the idea that you only pay Chumash on primary Kedusha, not on secondary Kedusha. So that means that if I transfer the Kedusha from item A to item B and then I redeem it, I only have to pay principal, I don't have to pay Chumash. The statement by Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and the Gemara says that's the halacha. Then the Gemara reminded us, Onaza 6, Moda ben Mixas, The original claim has to be on two silver coins. The admission has to be on a pruta. And then it prompted the Mishnah to give us a list of five items where a pruta is relevant. And then the Gemara quoted a brisa of Levi that also had a list of five. And we compared and contrast the two lists. What was the thematic link of the Mishnah? What was the thematic link of Levi? And then a discussion of whether or not there's ona'a when counting in non-silver, very small copper coins, the pruta. Are we subject to ona'a? And the Gemara the Gemara quoted Rav Kahana's conclusion that there is no ona'a when it comes to prutas. And that's the accepted halacha. Adkan, we'll stop over.